what I said with the kids about forgiveness and the idea of forgiving and forgetting. How many of you were raised with it? I was. You've just got to forgive and forget. How many of you have been very good at forgetting? That really is the problem. It is. You can forgive, but forget. I remember a church that I was in. There were two sisters. They didn't. I thought, well, maybe they just had some strained relationships. But one sat on this side of the church, and one sat way over on the other side. It was one of those round things. You have a center aisle and two side aisles. She was over on the far side of the side aisle. Well, I was there several months, and I that didn't make sense, because I'd visited both of them, and they talked very nicely about how they were raised and how wonderful Mom and Dad were, and I didn't go any further, except the one time I did ask, why don't you sit with your sister? I would never sit with her. I said, okay. Why? When we were 12 years old, she's about 85. Okay? When we were 12 years old, she took my toy and broke it. So I asked the other sister, I understand that you broke Dorothy's toy when you were little. I did not. That wasn't her toy to begin with. I broke it because I didn't want her to play with it. I said, so for the last 65 years, you haven't talked to her? No. I said, what about when your family members died at the funeral? Don't you say hello? No. I said, wouldn't you feel better at your age if you forgave her and asked her to forgive you? Wouldn't you like to? No. And then every time I'd leave, she'd say, well, praise Jesus for your coming. Now, that's true. Talk about dumb as a hoot. And I thought, boy, there we go. And, you know, that went on even after I left. And after I left, of course, one of them died, and I contacted a friend of mine, said, you know, Dorothy died. I said, did her sister come to the funeral? And she said, no. I thought, oh, boy. Now, there was family. Okay, there was cousins and nieces and all over the place. But those two, no. I won't forgive and I won't forget. And boy, they sure didn't forget. That's a true story. Have you ever known people like this? Huh? There are a lot of people like this who just won't bend one drop because I'm not going to forgive, and I'm not going to forgive, and I'm sure not going to forget, and I'm sure not going to forget. And they're happy. Was it a difficult thing? Yeah, it was. And it stuck in my mind all these years. What's the sense in it? And yet, when we come down to the teachings of Christ, we come down to the same thing over and over again where Jesus is talking about forgiveness. We had a reminder in our prayer of confession where we did 70 times 7, which Jesus said once, you're to forgive 70, you're to forgive endlessly. Just keep forgiving. But you know, in all of the stories that are there, all of the parables, Jesus never says, forget. Because he ties together in the Hebrew and in the Greek When you forgive, you're erasing the bad stuff so that you can continue your life. How many of you, I know I have in my own life, people and events and things that happened that I won't forget for a moment. And I've forgiven, but I can remember it from time to time, and it bothers me. How about you? How about you? There are things that occur, and Jesus was aware of this. Our lesson today is a great, great lesson. It really, truly is. When you talk about forgive and forget, and you try to talk to the kids about forgive and forget, the challenge of Scripture, I think, places before us a pretty rough call. Look at Matthew, the 18th chapter. Verses 21 through 35. Now, in your Bibles, this is called the parable of the unmerciful servant. And what led Jesus into this particular thing was the earlier verses that he reminds people about a brother who sins against you, how you are to treat him. And for where two or three are together in my name, I'm there. So you can generate forgiveness and the automatic refrain, forgetting what brought the forgiveness to bear in the first place. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Oh, be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called that servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Jesus then said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's a good lesson. It's a wonderful lesson from Jesus. Absolutely magnificent letter. And it's so good, it's terrible to try to say that I want this applied to modern living. How do you forgive somebody that bad? How do you? How do you forgive a killer? How do you forgive someone who constantly repeats a crime not only against you, but hurts other people. How do you do it? How do you say, well, I forgive them? You know, Jesus tells us of a slave who owed big bucks to his master. That's the story. And he did everything he could to pay it back, but he failed, and the good master finally forgave the debt, the whole thing. Don't worry about it. It's over. Later, that same forgiven slave got so angry over someone who owed him a smaller debt, much smaller than what he owed, and he throws him into jail. Well, he'll never repay the debt. We know that. We do that in our own society. I always thought it was funny, you know, when a judge says, okay, I'm sentencing you to 35 years and fining you $500,000 for your crime. How much do they pay in prison? The master hears about this and blows up. And boy, oh boy, does he take revenge on that servant in a terrible way. And Jesus reminded everybody that this is the way God does if you do things that are unpleasing to Him. Well, it's kind of a harsh reality, but that's what we're looking at here. You know, this is how God's going to deal with us if we don't forgive. That's strong stuff. That's a hard lesson. You know, this past week we observed the 13th anniversary of 9/11. It was interesting to hear all of the people who were interviewed and talking about their remembrances of what happened that day. 9/11. I remember 9/11 because the following weekend we had a memorial service for my first wife in Wellsburg. And my son gave his remarks. And he said, you know, in light of the tragedy we having as a family with the loss of my mother, it can't be compared to the loss all those families are facing in New York. The minister friend of mine who was doing the service, he said, David, never, never dismiss the agony over one loss in terms of the many. God's love is greater than that, and God's judgment is greater than that, which is what we're reminded of in this scripture. I doubt if many Americans are going to forget 9/11. I doubt if many Americans will forgive those who created 9/11. I felt some of the bitterness myself. And I felt it come to me. A product of World War II, which is now history for most of our society when they talk about it. And when Barbara and I stood on the memorial over the hulk of the USS Arizona and looking at all of those names of which I knew none who were there and still there when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. I got that feeling of 9/11. Forgive. Forget. We all make mistakes and we do wrong things and we do it to people. People we love and people we don't know real well. We do bad things to people because we're human beings who do bad things. But we do magnificent things as well, don't we? We can love and we can strengthen and we can share and we can give and we can help. Like the kids were saying You feel good when you say you're sorry. And when you did something wrong to someone and you apologize, don't you feel good inside? Sort of a self-satisfaction that you really can't measure. I'm sorry. You know, when someone tells me that, I say, thank you. I try to say I forgive you. And I do. And thank you for this. And I appreciate it. But doggone it, it sticks in my craw somewhere. And it bothers me. There's the sin. Temper the forgiveness with the forgetfulness, and you'll be a better person for it. This is what Christ is trying to remind here. He's suggesting you try to break the cycles of anger that too often control you, that too often eat up places in your brain that you really don't need to give space for. We can harbor grudges, like the two sisters. Lord, 65 years of grudge. Or we can have the courage to say, let's just stop this and find a way to get along. Let's try to get along with one another. We can let anger fester. And we can let anger nag us. We can let anger make us boil over and give us nervous indigestion. But I want to tell you something else. Jesus knew about it even before Rolaids were there. He knew about it. God's in charge. God is going to be the judge. Not you, not me. God's in charge. Forgive. Absolutely. Absolutely. Forget. Well, pray with me. God, our Father, we're grateful that you give us the challenges through Scripture to look at ourselves in new and different ways. We're thankful that you compel us to want to be better people. Not only better people because you expect it, but better people because Christ wants this in His people. Strengthen our resolve to forgive. But strengthen even more our dedication to try and forget. Amen.